Ephesians chapter 1. My text will be found in verse 19. The title of the message this morning is The Power of Faith. Power of Faith. Ephesians 1 and verse 19. Paul praying for the saints here that they might know something. He said that you might know. That He may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. And this is one of the things that He desired that they might know. What is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power. The power of faith. Now, the purpose of the message this morning is this. That faith in Christ is according to the mighty power of God. You this morning, if you believe in Christ, if you get, now I want you to get this first. So if you get lost, you get messed up along the way, you get distracted in something, I want you to understand this. Faith is of God. Faith in Christ is of God. You hear people talking about the power of faith. Isn't that right? They say, oh, the power of faith. If you just believe, you can have this or you can have that. They're missing the whole point. The power of faith is God. The reason you have faith at all is God. Now, men believe the power of faith rests in you. That's what men believe. That faith is a product of your work, of your effort, of your will. You cannot deny this Scripture. What is the that you might know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? Who believe according. This is why you believe. According to the working of His mighty power. You can't get around that. You can't get around this. Faith is a result of the working and mighty power of God. That's my purpose. But to get there, I want to go back and show you how He gets to there. The apostle, in verses 1 through 15, declares the whole counsel of God. He declares the whole counsel of God's salvation to us, to the church. That God in sovereign election chose a people in Christ before the foundation of the world. This cannot be denied. This cannot be denied. To deny this is to deny the Word of God. Read it for yourself. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Listen. According. This is why and how He blesses us in Christ. According. As He hath chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That God purposed this election. And this is the purpose of those elect, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. That in love He predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. He predestinated us to be sons, not by works, not by our merits, but by Jesus Christ. You get that? Is anybody lost? Can you really be lost in this? I mean, this is not complicated. You follow it. God chose a people and said, I want them to be holy. I will that they be holy. And this is how they'll be holy, by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ. to himself. And this is the reason. This is the whole reason. According. Now you follow that word according. We're going to follow that all the way through this. According. This is the reason why. This, because of this, because of this, because of this. According. Because. This is the reason. To the good pleasure of His will. Now why did He do this? Because He wanted to. Because He wanted to. Why did He choose a people? Why didn't He leave it up to man? Because He wanted to. That should just shut every man up right there. I don't care what you think and what you feel about this matter of election. It's so. God said, I will. Well, I don't like it. I don't care. That doesn't bother me in the least. That's going to bother you a heck of a lot when God comes. But to me, it's good news. To me, it's good news. This elect, then, according to His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Listen, He hath made us accepted. Now, why are you accepted? I'm accepted because He made me accepted. Do I need another reason? He made me accepted. In who? The Beloved. Now, who's that? Christ. He chose us in Christ. He predestinated us in Christ to be children, and by Christ we should be made holy and accepted. Therefore, Jesus, in time, came. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Listen, here's that word again. According. According. Maybe I'll do a message one day called According. I don't know, because that's just really a good title, don't you? According. This is why. To the riches of His grace. Jesus Christ came into the world according to the riches of His grace. He became a man according to the riches of His grace. He obtained righteousness for His people according to the riches of His grace. According to the riches of His grace, He suffered and died willingly upon the cross. He was made sin. He bare the sin of His elect on the tree according to the riches of His grace. And you know what He did? He hath wrought redemption. He bought redemption by His blood. He hath redeemed us. We have redemption. You got that? It's not we're going to get redemption. We have redemption. You know, I had redemption when He shed that blood 2,000 years ago. I had redemption. The price was paid already. I knew nothing about it until recently. Until God saved me, I didn't know anything about it. But that blood was already paid. My sins were already atoned. I didn't even know it. Riches of His grace. He obtained this for us. And this is according to His purpose. And this is a verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to the good His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Now this is the evidence of our election, the evidence of our redemption, is the revealing of the mystery. A revealing of the mystery. And this is according to His will. His will. Christ should come in the, and then reveal this to us. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gathered together in one all things in Christ, both in heaven and on earth. You see, this is the purpose of God's will right now in time. Is what is He doing? He's gathering together all who? The elect. He's gathering them from the four corners of the earth. He is gathering them. How do we know who they are? He reveals the mystery. The mystery of the gospel. You know, gospel is a mystery. It's a mystery. Now, it's not a mystery to us who believe. To whom it's revealed, it's not a mystery. We see clearly this gospel. Those things that God hid in eternity, we now see clearly and they're revealed to us. And this He did according to the purpose of God, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. You see that? His elect have an inheritance. And this inheritance was predestinated. It was ordained beforehand that we should receive this inheritance. That inheritance God purposed, that inheritance Christ obtained, is our inheritance. God ordained our inheritance. According. According. To the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. Now you get this. This is immutable. It's unchangeable. Nothing in time or eternity will change this. The will of God. This is the will of God. You remember in Isaiah chapter 46, He said, I am God, there is none else. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, of things that were not yet done. Saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do what? All my pleasure. What is His pleasure? I've chosen the people. I've ordained they be holy. I sent my Son to redeem them. I will reveal the mystery of the gospel to them, and they will all be gathered in and receive the inheritance I predestinated for them. That Christ obtained for them, they'll all be brought in. Why? It was my will. Why are you in? Why are you here? Why do you believe? You listen. It was the will of God. Was there any way you were going to miss this? You know, if I hadn't heard that gospel that time, if I hadn't been in that church, you know, nope, no chance. No way you were going to miss this. I remember Brother J.D., he tells me this story often. Him and Cook were sitting at the door on Wednesday night at that church, and it was dark outside, and they were playing rock, paper, scissors to see who was going to go in first. They were scared to go in the church building. They didn't know what was going to be on that door. And you know, he said, we thought about leaving. I said, there's no chance of that. And right, he came in according to the will of God. And he heard according to the will of God. And he believed according to the will of God. So it is with you. So it is with me. This was already purposed and of God. Paul declares the root cause of everything here. In verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. You want to know why God does what He does? Anybody ask that question? Why? Why? Put it down. Here it is. For His glory. For His glory. Man seems to find offense at that. They like to hear, what is it about me? I want to hear something good about me. You know, God did that because of you. Nope. God did that because of His own glory. You remember in Ezekiel when he talked about the covenant of grace? He said, I do this not for your sake. Why? We were not worthy of any of it. I do this for my own name's sake. So you want to know why God does what He does? He does it for His glory. You can mark this down. Whatever God does for His glory is for your good. That we should be to the praise of the glory of His grace. And see this. Who first trusted in Christ? He says this. That we should be to the praise of the glory of His grace. Who first trusted in Christ? I've read commentators talk about Paul being the first to trust. That's not true. Paul was never the first who trusted in Christ. He wasn't even the first apostle that trusted in Christ. It's talking about God. You know who trusted Christ first? God did. You know what He trusted Him with? His glory. The glory of God rested in the hand of Jesus Christ to do the work of God. The elect souls of His people rested in the hand of Jesus Christ to do the work of God. And you know what Jesus said when He finished that work? John 17, He said, Father, the hour is come. You know that hour that Christ hung upon that cross was the center of all time. Everything moved to that 1 hour. That 1 hour. The hour is come. Glorify Thy Son. Listen, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. This is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. Listen, I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. How did He do it? How did He glorify God? He finished the work God gave Him to do. What work? To save His elect people according to the praise of the glory of His grace. That's what He did. Now listen, in verse 13, in whom you also trusted. In whom you also trusted. Now we begin to see who the elect are, who the redeemed are. They are those who trust in Christ. This is the manifestation of election and redemption, even faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. These are men and women and children who believe on Christ alone for all their salvation. These are saved by the grace of God through faith in Christ. But now how did they come to trust Christ? How did you come to trust Christ? How is that? And we know God willed it, God purposed it, but what was the means by which you came to Christ? He tells us, you trusted in Christ after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. All of the elect then are saved through this means of preaching the gospel. This is the will of God, that they be gathered in and trust Christ. But how? Through preaching the gospel. This gospel I've just preached to you. This is how they're brought in. They hear this message of election and grace, and they see their need. They're made to see their need, and they desire to come in. They desire to have what the elect have, to know what the elect know. And this is what God draws His elect into, is by the preaching of the gospel. Go to, hold your place here. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Here we have the general call of the gospel. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got that? Whosoever. You know who God elected? Whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's who God elected. He elected them not because they would call. He elected them to call. And this is the gospel message. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's a general... Everybody hear that? Anybody miss it? Did anybody misunderstand me? Whosoever. You know, I don't know who the elect are. I have no clue. I got an idea of some of you. And I'm comforted by this. I have an idea of some of you. I don't know who the elect are, neither do you. This is why a general call is necessary. I preach to everyone anyone wants to hear. Somebody told me one time, he said, well, you shouldn't preach over here. You should. I'll preach to anybody who wants to listen. I'll preach to the Pope if he'll sit down and listen. I don't care. I'll preach to anybody. Why? Because I don't know who the elect are. I know this, whosoever will. Those are the elect. And they're not elect because they will. They will because they're elect. And that's what we're getting to. The power of faith in just a minute. This is a general call. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? You ain't ever going to call on Christ unless you believe Him. Mm-mm. You won't ever do it. Now, anybody and everybody is going to call on Christ if they can add something to it. But if you believe Christ, you understand this. You have nothing to add. You have nothing. Think of the worst and lowest and meanest and horriblest sinner that you've ever... That's you. That's you. You have nothing to offer. Now listen, you'll never come to Christ unless you believe that. You'll never come unless you have a need. How shall you call on Him if you don't believe on Him? And listen, how are you going to believe on Him if you have never heard? And how shall you hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now listen, there's a lot of preaching going on. Isn't there? I think on the way to this school, there are at least 3 churches on that main road. That's on just one road. I'm talking, that's not even including all the other places. There's a lot of preaching going on. But you listen. If they're not preaching what I just preached to you, they're not sent of God. They got a message, but it ain't of God. I've just declared to you the Word of God. Have I just followed the Word through? Have I not just declared what is said in Holy Scripture rather than trying to give you my opinion about it? It's just there. It's plain. It's simple. It's right there. I'm not trying to preach to you anything about my opinion of things. You don't care about my opinion. A lot of preaching going on, but a lot of them ain't been sent. A lot of them try to use this Word. They don't know anything about it. If they're not preaching the election of God, the redemption of Christ, and the calling of the Holy Spirit and regeneration and faith in Christ, they are not preaching the gospel. I don't care who they are. And if they admit that privately and don't preach it publicly, you listen. They are false prophets if they don't declare it. I declare it because God sent me to declare it. I've got no other message. I've got no other message. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Oh, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. There are many, there's some of you who have not obeyed the gospel. You heard it just like everybody else did. You don't believe it. You won't bow. You won't submit. You fight, you kick, you spit. As Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh how? By hearing. And hearing by the word of God. You believed, listen, after you heard the word of truth. This is the means by which God calls His elect. The means of this preaching is foolishness to lost souls. It's worthless and of no value to the soul that has no need of Christ. Most attend some form of religious worship today. Not for the gospel. They don't come for the gospel. Men don't come to church for the gospel. In modern religion, men don't come to church for gospel. We know this because so-called churches have no gospel being preached. The gospel I have just declared to you is not being preached. Would to God it was. I'm not in competition with anybody. Would to God every church on this road would preach the gospel that I preach to you. They preach sermons on morality, on government involvement, on marriage, riches, ethics, impacting the culture for Jesus Christ. You hear that, you run away. You hear that, you run away from them. If anybody tells you about impacting the culture for Jesus, you run. They're a liar and a false prophet. God has never told us to impact the culture. He's told us to preach the gospel. Who impacts the culture is God. God saves sinners. We don't. We preach the gospel. That's what we're here to do. They come for church history. They come to be taught how to live, how to do good, how to exalt. They exalt the reformers. You know what? Every church call themselves reformers. All I hear them talk about is reformers. Like they invented the gospel. They didn't invent the gospel. They were sinners saved by grace. And God gave them a large audience. That's all. They preach at church fathers. They do a lot of singing. They do a lot of plays and programs. You know why? They ain't got nothing to say. The preacher's got nothing to say. So he fills the time with what? Plays and programs and foolishness. Has nothing to say. They may mention Jesus' name every once in a while. Talk about His blood. Hint at it. Talk about His resurrection and use it as a springboard to telling you to do something. But unto us who have heard, the gospel is not... This message is not a sidebar. It's the sum, the subject, and the theme of our worship. It is the centerpiece of worship to preach the gospel that glorifies God and abases man. That exalts Christ and puts man in the dust. Now that's a theme of every message I've ever preached to you. If you don't believe it, go back and listen to any one of them you want to. I take you to task. And if I've done it, I would, oh my soul, if I did anything but that, I would fear. We preach Christ and Him crucified, Christ and Him raised from the dead. The center and theme of our subject is Christ, 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 Christ. That's it. Christ is all. Paul said, He sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words. Somebody gave me a compliment the other day. He said, "You're the plainest preacher I've ever heard." Good. I met a man one time preach a gospel, and I'm glad the man's out of the ministry. This guy, you'd have to have a dictionary to sit and listen to him. What did that do? That made the cross of Christ of none effect. I couldn't understand. We come to preach Christ, not with wisdom of words. Lest the cross of Christ be made of none effect, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. You listen, you like this? You like this message? No, it's foolishness. You're perishing. Perishing. You know why people have no interest in this? It's because they're perishing. Well now, preacher, that's a hard... Look, that's God's Word. I don't care what people think about that. That's just so. And to argue with it is to argue with God. So go argue with God. Don't argue with me. Argue with God. You think this is foolish? It's because you have no need of it. You have no use of it. But unto us. I like that. But unto us. Unto us which are saved. It is the power of God. The power of God. After we heard of Christ, His great condescension, how He took on flesh, how He represented us in obedience to the law of God, how He obtained righteousness for us, how He by His blood made us righteous. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we should be made the righteousness of God in Him. This is the message I want to hear. That's a message I love, is that substitution. That's a message I want to hear. I want to hear that my Savior substituted Himself in my place. He died in my stead. He rose for my justification. The work of salvation is finished. This is the message the saved want to hear. And I need to hear it over and over and over. And listen to this. Verse 14, which is verse 13. In whom, after that you have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Oh my goodness, sealed. Sealed. You know what it means when a king took his wax on a piece of paper and he put his ring into it? It was death to open it. Except for the one it was intended for. Death. You see, I've been sealed. And it will not be opened except in that great day when God comes and takes me home. Then the whole will be made known to me. The whole of my righteousness, the whole of my redemption will be made known in that day. Oh, have you trusted in Christ? Have you believed on Christ? Have you seen your spiritual poverty and need of Christ? That by no work of religion, no outward ritual, no obedience of the law will you ever please God? Do you know that? Then behold, I've shown you the salvation of God. Therefore, you should flee to Christ. Is that not just reasonable? That's just the most reasonable thing for a sinner to do. Flee to Christ. To me, that's reasonable. That's just so. I need Him now. I recognize I need Him now more than I ever need Him before. And you know what? I've never stopped coming to Christ either. When you come to Christ, have you ever stopped coming? If you ever stop, you never started. If you ever stop, we don't stop coming. We always come into Christ now, believing on Christ now, suing for Christ to have mercy on us and forgive us our sins now. And all who come with no merit, no goodness, come with the sin and guilt of their soul, come and surrender to Christ, to His will and to His grace. You know what you find? You'll find what I found. Perfect salvation. Perfect. Why? Because you didn't have anything to do with it. Any salvation I'd have to do with is not perfect. But this salvation is untouched by me. It was done something outside of me. God purposed it before the world began. Christ died for it before I was born. The Spirit gave it to me without even me looking for it. He gave it to me. Do you believe on Christ now? Then I want you to understand this. This faith that you have is of the power of God. Faith itself is simple. You know that? Faith is simple. It has one object. Count to one, you got it. One. Christ. It has one object. Faith is without work. You don't need to work to believe. Matter of fact, in order to believe, you have to stop working. Stop working! You remember in the Old Testament when those Israelites were bitten by that serpent. What was the command? Look and live. Look and live. He didn't say, cut off the heads of all the snakes and then live. He didn't say, treat the wound, seek a doctor, find medicine and live. No. Look and live. How easy is it to look? Let me tell you something. For somebody who sees, it's very easy. Right? If you can see, to look is easy. Simple. Now then, tell a blind man to look. You made something so simple impossible. Why? He's blind. He can't look. He can't look because he's blind. This is how we are by nature. And except God give you sight, you cannot do the most simple thing as look to Christ. You grope about in the dark trying to find a remedy, trying to find peace. Isn't that what you're looking for? Happiness? Everybody's looking for happiness, aren't they? Trying to find it. You just watch them. Watch them groping around over here, trying to find happiness here. That ain't it. Come over here. It ain't here. They keep looking and looking and doing and doing and working and working, and they don't find it. Why? They can't see. And I could tell them, look and live. Look to Christ and live. And they just can't. They just can't. Not until God give them sight. Faith is pictured in many ways. It's pictured as a new creation, isn't it? Scripture says that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Created. Now then, can you create anything? You remember that joke that people say? It's kind of funny. They said, you know, God, we can clone people. We can do what you do. And he said, okay, go ahead. And they started grabbing some dirt and this, and they said, no, no, get your own dirt. No, we can't create anything. We can make stuff out of stuff already made, but we can't create anything. Only God can create something. Only God can create a new nature in a man. The power of faith comes from God. It is the work of God. You remember Jesus said that to those people who sought that bread in John chapter 6. He said, this is the work of God, that you should believe on Him whom He has sent. This is creation. In John chapter 1, it says, as many as received Him. Isn't that sound simple? As many as received Him. Oh, would you receive Christ? Would you receive Christ? To them gave He the power. You got it? How did they receive it? Power. How did you receive it? Power. What kind of power? Omnipotent power. Without omnipotent power, you'll never receive Him. You'll never receive this message. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the right to become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That should eliminate all free will works religion, period. That should just wipe it off the face of the earth. People are so drunk with it. Drunk with the wine of that fornication. I was bruising Cheryl's Facebook page, and I've seen this past, you know, summer kids get out of school and everything, and they go to these vacation Bible schools and things like that. And I see these pictures of parents baptizing their little children. They get their child up there and they're baptized. You know what they say? Oh, I'm so proud of little Johnny. That person is ignorant and has no idea how salvation comes. They have no idea how faith comes. They're proud of Johnny. They're proud of him for making the decision. That's not how salvation comes, and that's not how faith comes. How does faith come? Look at your text. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? According. Here's why you believe. According to the working of His mighty power. See, I'm proud of God. Paul said, I give thanks to God for your faith and love. Can you not see the difference? I'm so proud you decided to follow Jesus. Hogwash. I'm proud of God for giving me faith according to His mighty power. And you see this. Faith is a resurrection from the dead. It's not only a creation, it's a resurrection from the dead. And you, that's the very next chapter, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 1, you hath He quickened who were dead. See, faith is a resurrection. Comes by resurrection. And you know this. If God chose me, Christ redeemed me, the Spirit called me, and I was created a new creation by the power of Almighty God, given new life by the Spirit of God, you mark this down, my faith will continue to the end. How? The same way it started. By the almighty power of God. That's how. You see how sure my salvation is? And your salvation is? It's sure because it's all done of God. It's all according to the will of God. It's all for the glory of God. Therefore, stand fast, Paul says. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. It's not a combination. Not part work you, part work Christ. It's all work Christ. All of God. He's made me free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You see, we don't begin by faith and finish by law. We begin by faith, we walk by faith, and we end by faith. And all the while, our faith is not of ourself. Now what he said, for by grace you are saved through faith. Not of yourself. That faith is not of yourself. Faith is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See, my faith is not a work. It's not something that I've done. It's something God has done in me according to the working of His mighty power. You know why I'm still here? His mighty power. Isn't that what Peter said? He said, who are kept. You know why I'm still here? I'm kept. Kept. By the power. I don't want to misquote it. I'll just read it to you. I want you to hear it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Who are kept, listen, by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. I know you struggle. I know you struggle. With your faith, I know you struggle. I know your faith is at best weak, isn't it? You don't dare stand on it. You don't dare trust in your faith. It'll fall on you every time. in your trouble, look to the one who gave it to you. And you have something to stand on. You have something to hold on to in the worst trouble. That your faith is according to the working of the mighty power of God. You know, it took the same power to raise up Christ from the dead as it did to give you faith. Isn't that something? Same power. Oh, rest in it. Believer, it's all right. It's all right. Say you to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Only him. Only him. Only the elect it's well with. Only the redeemed. Who are they? Those who are believers in the Jesus Christ, not by their own will, but by the power of God. And may God bless you with it and keep you. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer.